Hello, guys. Welcome to episode 12 of Feed Your Faith. So today's podcast is going to be pretty spectacular. I was going to talk about something completely different, but God laid it on my heart that I really need to talk about food obsession because I wrote this little piece about it that I sent out in my newsletter and I posted up on my Facebook page, and I got an overwhelming response from you ladies about how much it spoke to you. And I just thought, you know what? Let's do the podcast on food obsession. Let's talk about how do we get away from being obsessed with food, away from being obsessed with our weight, away from being obsessed with what our bodies look like. This is what we all strive for. This is what we all want. And I want to talk about it with you ladies. So that's what today's podcast is about. I'm sharing my personal experience with what I've learned on my own journey and the things that I believe you need to do as well in order to really get free from this. So tune in. But first, before we start, you know, I always have a couple of quick little fun announcements to make, and then we will get to the show. Welcome to Feed Your Faith. I'm your host, Courtney Kopeck, and I'm a Christian food and body image coach. I spent most of my life hating my body and feeling frustrated with food. Then God stepped in and showed me something so supernatural in His Word, it transformed my life forever. Now I have peace around food and feel comfortable in my body. I am teaching female followers of Christ all over the world how to find this exact same food freedom through a deeper faith in Jesus. Join me in fellowship here every week as I discuss biblical scriptures directed towards how to treat and love our own bodies, as well as share personal struggles and thoughts around food and body image and the role God plays in both. I also talk with other women of faith who share their personal stories and wisdom around God's grace in putting a final end to their own food and body image drama. This episode is brought to you by my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith. If you're ready for some answered prayers around your food struggles and body image issues and want to start living abundantly in the life God has waiting for you, where you are truly free from binging, food restricting, and yo-yo dieting, get my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith. Go to CourtneyKopeck.com/sign up for free devotional. That's CourtneyKopeck.com/sign up for free devotional. And now let's get to the podcast. Welcome to episode 12. Here we are, how to stop obsessing over your food. So many of you women out there, I'm sure, can completely relate to this topic. And it's one of those things where we just want the answer. Like, how does it have to be so difficult? Why can't we just stop? You know, we want to stop, and yet we can't. We struggle. And I'm going to tell you that the answer is very, very simple and complicated at the same time, which is you have to make your desire to please God more important than your desire to please yourself. And that is really hard to do, especially when you're not in a self-loving mode. When you're so consumed by food and your body weight, it's really hard to see anything outside of that. It's really hard to participate in the world around you. This is what happens with dieting. This is what happens when we feel like we have to fit into a certain weight. It just totally takes over our lives to the point where we can't even participate as like a loving character in somebody else's life because we're just so busy living our own. We're so busy focusing on us. Me, me, me. I need this. I must have this. I've got to look this way. And it steals everything else from us, including our relationship with Christ. I'm going to tell you something. I can't sit here and say that, you know, I'm 100% healed. I never think about my body. I never think about my weight. I remember I had a teacher once who had quit smoking, and he hadn't had a cigarette in probably like 10 or 15 years. And he told me there's not a day that goes by where he doesn't think at least once about wanting to still have a cigarette. And so far, I can say there's probably not a day that goes by where I don't have at least one moment of looking at myself in the mirror and thinking like, yeah, maybe it would be nice if that was changed. Food definitely has gotten much easier than the body part has for me. I don't think too much about what I'm eating anymore. I really don't. But my point is this. I'm not saying that to say that like food is an addiction and it's just like cigarettes and you're never going to be able to let it go. I'm just sharing that because anything that holds control over us because we give it control over us, anything that we've used for a long time to comfort us. I mean, food really does become a friend, you know, it really does become a source of security and comfort in our lives. And when you're having to transform that relationship, because I don't want to say let go of that relationship, because food is always going to be a comfort to you. There's always going to be some sort of security found in food. That's a reason it's food. I mean, it keeps us alive. My God, like, the Lord created a very special relationship between animals and food because it needs to be there. We need to keep wanting to eat. You know, it's the reason why we have taste buds. So I like to use the word transform because it's not letting go of caring about food. I do care about food. I love food, but I don't obsess over food. I eat the way I want to be eating. It doesn't control me the way that it used to. I have a different relationship with it now. There's a lot of mourning that goes on when we are trying to let go of our food obsession. And I want you guys to be aware of that. You have a very, very special bond with your body and with food. And you're battling right now. You're literally battling yourselves. On the one hand, you want to let it go. You want to be a normal eater. You want to stop thinking about your weight. On the other hand, that scares the living daylights out of you. And you don't know who you will be outside of this obsessed person. You can't imagine what your relationship would look like. I mean, you kind of like, oh, you know, yeah, you can picture the feeling of not being obsessed, but like, who are you if you're not obsessed with food? What are you doing? What are you thinking about? Where's all that energy going? And I just want to tell you, like, there will always be things to obsess over. Food obsession is a huge amount of just anxiety. The anxiety is coming how you're feeling over your body. The reason you're having anxiety about how you feel over your body is because you really care about what people think about you. If nobody made a single comment about being fat, if fat didn't matter in our society, you wouldn't care about being fat. If nobody talked about making fun of people who are fat or guys not caring, you know, guys, you know, not caring about you if you were fat or not getting certain positions at work because you're fat, you know, or whatever. If there wasn't such a stigma attached to fat, you would not care. I see my clients a lot. The way you get over obsessing about food is you keep yourself in the present moment because that is where God meets us. He doesn't meet us in tomorrow. He's already in tomorrow, but we can't be there. We can only be where we are in this very moment. And that's where God meets us. And when we're obsessing about food, it's because we're obsessing about the future. We're worried about eating the brownie today because we fear what it's going to do to our bodies tomorrow. we're not just living in the moment and enjoying the brownie and not worrying about whether or not that means 5 minutes from taking a bite of that brownie, we're going to end up binging. We're going to end up losing it, or we're going to end up gaining it. We're not living with the food. We're not even really like enjoying the food that we're eating because we're so concentrated on how is this food affecting me? What's going to happen? Rather than I'm just eating this food right now and I'm not going to worry about what's going to happen. I'm leaving that part up to God. I hear a lot of women say, I pray and I pray and I pray, and then I keep going back to what I'm doing. So I have a couple of things I want to say around that. First of all, I just want to say, I'm only human too. I can't speak for God. I can't speak exactly for what God's doing in your life because I don't know the answer to that. I can only speak from my own experiences. So that's what I'm going to do. And what I experienced when I was coming out of my recovery and really starting to heal, I had to make God the forefront of every single part of my day. Otherwise, it didn't work. If I was praying in the morning, okay, God, please just let me get through this day. I pray that I don't binge. I pray that I don't purge. I pray that I don't restrict. I pray that I can eat breakfast. I pray that I make a healthy choice. You know, all these different prayers that we have. And then I just leave God and I walk to my kitchen, or I go to my job, or I'm dealing with my children, or whatever it is that's going on. And God is still in where I was this morning, but now he's not in my present moment. That did not do anything for me. When we pray, we have to take those prayers with us throughout our day. And it's difficult. This was one of the things that I prayed for a lot was, God, remind me of yourself. Remind me of your presence. Remind me of your existence, because I was getting so caught up in my own obsession. I didn't even think about God. And I didn't want to think about God in some of those circumstances. I don't want to think about God when I'm binging. I don't want to think about God when I was going to the toilet and throwing up. Why would I want to do that? Right? Because then the shame and the guilt and, oh my gosh, here I am doing it again. I suck, blah, blah, blah. We feel so bad. I started taking God with me to those places. And it helped so much, the amount of grace and the amount of mercy that I experienced. Because I allowed God into these dark places where, quite frankly, he already was. Whether you like it or not, God is sitting there with you when you're in the middle of that binge. Just because you're not willing to recognize or acknowledge him doesn't mean that he's not right there with you. You have to ask for that fear to be removed, and you have to let God in to these dark places that you don't want to let go of, that you're afraid of. There's still walls around you that need to be let down so that the Lord can penetrate you and really come in and make a change. And it's scary. I'm not going to say it's not. And the only way I really started doing it was being brought to my wit's end. And that was what my newsletter piece was about, where so many of you emailed me and reached out and Facebooked me and just told me how meaningful that piece was to you. And I just want to thank you so much for that, because I feel like, you know, this is a journey that we're all on, and I get it, and I'm still on it. I'm not perfect, you know, and I want you guys to understand that, because when you're obsessed with food, there's a feeling of perfectionism that's there. You just want to get things right. You want to get your eating right. You know, I was talking to a client the other day, and I said, so what is a good day of eating look like for you? You know, and she's talking about, well, making healthy choices and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I had to say to her, like, when you trust your body, you will want to make healthy choices, but you have to also trust that you're going to probably want some junk food at some point. You know, we plan out, we decide, this is what I think my day should look like in terms of my eating. And then when we don't hit that marker, we get upset with ourselves. And that's not leaning into God over your food. That's you already deciding how things are supposed to look. The body wants healthy food. It's the stress that comes in and the anxiety over other areas of our lives that then guide us to want to have more comforting food. The more stressed you are, the more anxious you are about things, the more you're going to crave the comforting food. Carrot sticks are not comforting. They're delicious and they have their place in my life. But if I'm stressed out, I do not want carrot sticks. I want brownies. I want birthday cake, which I just love. And I got to be willing to be real with myself and make sure that there's a place for that without feeling like I'm a failure, without feeling like I've made a wrong choice. And the only way I can do that is by having God's grace with me along the way. I want you to try to imagine God being with you when you're in your binge, when you're deciding not to eat for the day, taking God with you throughout the whole day. Making it a goal, saying to yourself, today, God and I are hanging out all day. That doesn't mean you got to sit there with your Bible and bring it with you everywhere you go. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying recognizing God all day long instead of just in those moments where you're praying. Like, imagine he is just your bestie, your BFF, and you guys are chilling together all day long. Even when you're trying to figure out whether or not you're going to have that cookie, or you are trying to figure out, am I full? Should I keep eating? Those are the things you got to ask God. And you have to make sure that the answer that's coming back to you isn't one that's coming back to you from your mind. And this is where it gets tricky, because Satan controls the mind very well, you know? It's like, for example, you're eating a food and you decide you've had enough, but you're not basing it off whether or not you're full. You're basing the decision off of what you think you're supposed to be eating, what you think is enough. You need to be checking in with God. He's sitting right there with you. You need to be asking him, okay, Lord, I'm trying to figure this out right now and I need your help. And I don't want to be listening to what Satan says, which are things like, if you eat anymore, you're going to get fat. You don't need any more food. You're done. Put that food away. Those are sounds from Satan. You could always tell anything negative is coming from Satan. Anything compassionate, anything loving is coming from God. So if you're like hearing something that might be saying to you, well, I think physically you've had enough, but this is a really good meal and it's okay if you want to have a few more bites. Don't worry about it. That sounds more like God than you've had enough, you don't deserve anymore. Or thin people wouldn't eat any more than that. Why are you going to eat more than that? Or if you eat more than that, you're going to have to eat less at dinner time. You're going to have to restrict your calories, right? Those are not the voices of God. You have to start practicing hearing the Lord around these things. And this is one of the ways that you can get over the obsession. The easiest way to get over the obsession is to make the obsession about God and not about you. How can you do that? How do you make God bigger than yourself? How do you make serving the Lord more important than yourself? And when I say that, I really want to say as well, don't freak out if you're not doing the job you feel you should be doing at this. If you say, oh, but Courtney, I am trying to make God so important. I am trying to follow the Lord. I am trying to put him number one. He understands the struggle. He understands that the struggle is real because he created us. And what did he have allow happen in us? Sin. He gets it. That's what the grace and the mercy is for. That's what the forgiveness is for. We're not supposed to be condemning ourselves. We're not supposed to be feeling guilt and shame over things. That's the devil who wants to keep you right where you're at. He doesn't want you to have a closer relationship with God. He doesn't want you going to God over your food choices. He doesn't want you getting closer to the Lord. That's the last thing he wants. He's going to do everything he possibly can to prevent that. And part of what he does is by manipulating you so that you don't feel comfortable allowing Jesus closer to you, right? Like when I was in the middle of a binge and then I went into the bathroom and would throw up and I was talking in my mind to God as I'm behaving this way. Here I am, God. I'm throwing up. Yup, this is happening again. And you're just here with me. I didn't say, Lord, please stop me in the middle of this moment. I didn't say, God, what a wretch I am. I'm such a, you know, piece of garbage. I just commented on exactly what was going on. And that is another thing I want to, you know, say to you guys is acceptance is so important. You're not accepting your obsession with your weight right now because there's a part of you that still feels like you can control it. There's a part of you that still wants to control it. So you're living in week two, week three, week four. I will be this size then. Or I won't be this size then. I know there's some of you who aren't trying to lose weight. You're just trying to stay the same weight. But you're not living in the present moment. And you're not accepting the present moment. Because you're always days ahead. Tomorrow, the next day, next Friday, next Saturday. Some of you have parties 2 weeks from now that you're already trying to figure out how are you going to handle those parties. Don't do that. That is causing you more stress and anxiety. That is making you feel that it's in your power and your control to deal with. And it's not. It's not. You don't have any power. You're powerless. Unless you're working through the power of the Lord. And the only way you access the power of the Lord is through prayer and relationship, communication. Letting him in. Do not be afraid to open yourselves up to these areas that you find super shameful. You know, think about that woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. That's my favorite story in the whole Bible. I can relate so much to this woman. You know, she's totally cast out and she slept with a lot of dudes. Probably for money, right? I mean, because she's not married to anybody and she's got to take care of herself somehow. And she just keeps going from guy to guy. She wants someone to love her. She wants someone to take care of her, to nurture her. I mean, you know, I doubt she's really enjoying these fast relationships that she's having. She's probably doing them, trying these guys on, hoping that someone's going to stick, that someone's going to make her an honest woman. And then there's Jesus who comes to talk to her and is like, girl, I know all about you. I know that you slept with John, Fred, Sam, Tommy. She had five, right? Five husbands. And now you're with Louis. And this woman must have been like, what? You know that feeling you get when someone knows a secret about you that you really didn't want anybody to know? You're so nervous and anxious and just like feeling so much shame and guilt. And you're like, what? How? Who said that about me? How do you know that? And your first response is like, no, that's not true. But this woman understood who she was speaking to. She knew. You know, like he said to her, I'm going to make you clean. I have living water for you. And I'm going to give that to you. And you need to go now and stop living this life that you've been living. And you ladies need to do the same thing. You need to stop pushing God out of these shameful places and start letting him know who you really are. Even the parts that you're ashamed of and you feel powerless over. You've got to start opening those places up for God to come into them. And that's when you're going to start noticing change and seeing some kind of difference in your heart. Because the more love you experience from God, the more you're going to want to love him back. So like when you're not feeling love for yourself, it's hard to feel God's love because you don't feel lovable. You're not loving yourself. So how could God love you? And this is the other thing too. I've noticed with myself, like, I know what the Bible says, that God loves me and I'm chosen and I'm a daughter of the King. And, you know, he knew me when he knit me together in my mother's womb. Like, I know it, but I don't own it. And I don't own it because I don't feel it. I don't feel chosen all the time. And maybe it's because I don't really want to feel chosen because that's a lot of responsibility. I have to like live up to some name. You know what I mean? It's like the stories you hear, that like the fables or whatever of, you know, the princes who were supposed to become king, and the idea of the responsibility just freaked them out, and they just rebelled and rebelled and rebelled. And then they, you know, they ran away, or they just, they didn't want to have anything to do with that kind of power because they didn't feel like they could handle it. You know, that's kind of how I think maybe I feel sometimes. How am I supposed to live up to that standard? And if I'm behaving in a way that's not living up to the standard, I really don't want to have to like think about it, because then I feel like I owe something to God. I owe a certain behavior to the Lord. But then I also think about how God is like, well, it's not by your works that anything gets done. It's all by my works. And that's what grace is about. I can't live up to that standard. I can't do anything that really impresses God that much. The only thing that impresses God is how much faith we have in him to keep us going, how much we love him, how much we dedicate ourselves to God. That's where he loves and feels like, you know, good about things. And one of the best things that I did, I started working on, and I really, really, you know, hope that you guys will do the same thing, is to stop carrying around so much shame and guilt. And that will happen as you begin to get closer to God, as you start to see him work in your life. He can't, I shouldn't say he can't, because he can do anything. If you're going to insist on staying in the desert for 40 years, then God will stay in the desert with you for 40 years. And he will work on you in the desert. But it's going to take a lot longer to get to the other side of the Jordan. If you will only let God in to so many areas of your food obsession and leave him out of the rest, you're not going to get as far as you will if you really let him in. Now, that being said, I do believe that every single one of us is on our perfect path with our food and our bodies. We are on our certain journey. And this is kind of what I was talking about with the Wit's End piece that I wrote. And if anybody wants a copy of it, you can just shoot me an email, Courtney@CourtneyKopeck.com, and I will send you over a copy of it if you want to read it. I'm also going to be posting it to my website under the blog. So everything is in God's perfect timing, and we're all right where we're supposed to be. I think sometimes we imagine ourselves like being a step ahead of God, and then he's having to catch up to us. But that's not so. Like, God's a step ahead of us. And if God's a step ahead of us, then we are right where we're supposed to be. The emotional turmoil that you're experiencing around food in your body is there for a reason. It's not a punishment that God is giving to you. It's a way he's trying to get you closer to him. And you will experience whatever you have to experience until you draw nearer to him. And it's just interesting. I found with myself, like, the worse I felt about what was going on, the more I would pray. But then it was also kind of feeling like the more I would rebel. You know, like, it's really about power here. It's really about being willing to put down your will and pick up God's will. And that also means having to pay attention to God all throughout the day. Because think of how many choices we make throughout the day, especially around food in our body. I will have breakfast. I won't have breakfast. What will I have for breakfast? How much am I going to eat at breakfast? Am I not going to eat much because I worry that later on I'm going to end up pigging out? Will I not have breakfast at all because I'm trying to save up calories? Will I have dessert? Will I not have dessert? What will I have dessert? I want the chocolate cake, but maybe I should go for the fruit cup. Don't want the fruit cup, but the fruit cup has less calories. Like, these are all just choices that we have to make. There's a million choices we have to make all the time about food in our bodies. How do I feel about my belly today? Does it look extra flabby? Maybe I don't like these stretch marks. Why can't I have a flat stomach like Giselle? Why is my butt so big? Why is my butt so small? Why do I have arm flab? How come I don't have muscles in my arms? You know, you could drive yourself nuts with all the things to think about when it comes to food in your body. But that's all stuff that you've got to be talking to God about. Instead of saying, Courtney, here's your belly. You've got stretch marks on it. You've had them because you were fat. And they're not going anywhere. And you got a little bit of a pooch. That's your belly. This is my belly, God. This is what it looks like today. Yep. Here it is. Just notice it. Be like a scientist around it. Don't pass judgment. I don't sit there and say, God, I hate my belly. Now, I don't sit there and say I love it either. I'm not like, oh, I'm so in love with my pooch. But I try really hard to just accept it. That this is what it looks like today, you know? And the accepting part is hard because a lot of times we think that acceptance means retreating, you know? We're in this battle with our bodies, and if we accept it, well, then that means we're accepting what we weigh. We're accepting what we look like. Well, yeah, you are accepting what you weigh and what you look like for today. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but it's the worry, the anxiety around what is going to happen tomorrow that is making your relationship with food and your body destructive. It's not a positive one. It's not a healthy one, and it's definitely not a happy one. You find those things when you find peace, and peace is acceptance. You know, when we're struggling through something and we're not feeling peace, it's because we're struggling through it. We're not accepting God's will over it. We're not accepting God's power over it. And we're not accepting God's grace to us over it. We're essentially saying to God, your grace is not sufficient. I'm not willing to accept it because I don't look the way I want to look and I don't feel the way I want to feel. And this is another thing about getting rid of your obsession is that, like, so much of it is just based off of feelings. I have a love-hate relationship with feelings. There was probably, I would say, 12 years of my life. This was from like my early 20s until really just recently, like my mid 30s. I'm almost 40. Where I didn't like myself. I did not like my life. I was battling my weight, battling my food. I thought that I was fine. I thought that because I was eating clean all the time and exercising all the time that I had it figured out. But I was so unsettled. There was no peace. There was no consistent level of comfort. I was always feeling like I was living in this discomfort, this unacceptable, unhappy, just tornado of ungratitude, really. I'm going to use that word because I was very ungrateful for my body, very ungrateful for my eating, ungrateful for my situation, just ungrateful for my life in a lot of ways because it didn't look the way that I wanted it to look. And so this is like, I just struggled so much with my feelings. Every single day, I allowed my feelings to tell me how I was going to be allowing my day to go. If I woke up not feeling thin enough, not feeling in control, not feeling good enough, then my day was ruined. And I made sure everybody around me knew it. I couldn't engage in a positive way with my husband. I couldn't engage very much with my children in a positive way. I didn't even want much to do with my children because I was so focused on whether or not I was eating properly and exercising that even when I was present with them, my mind was somewhere else. I mean, it was kind of at the point where I'd just be walking around my kitchen, wringing my hands, you know, waiting almost for the day to end so that I could get beyond this uncomfortable feeling and see how I felt tomorrow when I woke up. And I never knew how I was going to feel. I was very unsteady and very unstable. And I was searching for myself so desperately. I just kept thinking, why can't I be happy the way I was when I was a teenager? Why can't I be happy the way I was in my very, very early 20s? You know, why can't I be happy the way I was when I was six? What happened to me? Where's my joy? Where's my love of life? Where's my love of myself? I battled this and battled this for years. You know, and when you're dealing with something for years and years and years, you feel like you've been abandoned in a lot of ways. You're like, is this ever going to end? Am I ever going to get beyond this? And I think it wasn't until I finally just got so darn fed up with all of it at that wit's end, where I said, you know what? Forget my feelings. I have to start moving through life the way God tells me I'm supposed to be moving through life, regardless of what I am feeling. So if I wake up today and I feel negative and I feel fat, even though I say fat is never really a feeling, right? You're feeling something else. You can't feel fat. Fat is not a feeling. You can feel anxious. You can feel unloved. You can feel bored. You can feel tired, but you can't feel fat. So if you feel fat, you got to figure out what you're really feeling. But I'm just going to use fat because it's easier than going down the list of everything I was feeling in that moment. So I'd wake up feeling fat, aka unhappy with myself, unhappy with my life, not feeling like I had it together. I really disappointed myself. I was like, you know, I had always had these big dreams of becoming an actress, and everybody thought that that's what I was going to end up doing. Everyone around me was like, yes, this is who you are. This is what you're going to do. You're fabulous at it. And I never pursued it hard enough because I was too busy being obsessed with myself, being obsessed with my weight, I didn't know how to get out of my head and like really participate in the world because I was never living in the moment. I was always living in the future. And I, now looking back on it, thank God that I never became an actress. It just was not my path, but it was hard for over a decade. All those years feeling like I had let myself down, not knowing what else I wanted to do with my life, feeling like a failure, feeling that I didn't have a place anymore in the world, that I didn't have a label, you know? And I think that's another reason why I really pursued fitness so much, because it was something else that I could identify myself as. Well, if I'm not an actress, then who am I? Well, I'm into fitness. We feel like we have to have these labels on ourselves. And I never really took on the label of I'm a lover of Jesus, because that label really scared me. How am I going to hold up to that label? What does that look like? And I had to remind myself that it doesn't look like anything other than me just living my life with God a part of every single part of it, including my darkest spots, my most shameful areas. That's where he wants to get into. He doesn't care about the shiny things that you've done. He wants to get into those dark layers and start bringing some light into them, because that's where he's glorified. And this is the thing, we want to be glorified. It's not about God. Is your weight because you're trying to glorify God? Are you trying to glorify God by making yourself look a certain way? Staying a certain way? Even though it means you have a completely unhealthy relationship with the amazing foods that he has given you to be able to enjoy and share and just eat so yummy, yummy, yummy. You have to ask yourself, where are you using your body to glorify God? How are you doing that? I would think for me, it was by treating it well, by listening to it, by giving it power, because Jesus lives within our body. And God tells us our body is a temple. It's where the Holy Spirit dwells. It's where our own spirit dwells. And we have to treat it as such. And when you've got weight hanging over your head, you can't treat your body as something holy. And I think it's also hard because we've got doctors out there that are telling us that we're fat, telling us we need to lose weight. We've got that stupid BMI measurement thing that really doesn't even mean anything at all. I saw a picture the other day of some girl who was saying that the doctor said she needed to lose a very big chunk of weight. And I just couldn't believe it. I thought, this woman looks fine. You know, all of our bodies are made differently. And we're not all going to look the same. And we have to trust God to put our bodies back together for us, because for years we've been tearing them down. And we don't know what we're doing with them. When you're obsessed with food and you're praying to God that it ends, that's because you don't know what you're doing, because you don't have any control. And you don't have any control. You've got to give that control over to God, and you can't just do it in 15 minutes of prayer and then walk away and spend the rest of your day la-di-da-di-da. This is a daily, minute-by-minute, moment-by-moment focus that you've got to be putting into your healing. You have to let God into these shoddy spaces in you. You have to sit down with God at your meals and be like, hey, this is what I'm eating today. I'm having a salad, or I'm going to have some steak and a sweet potato. If you're someone who doesn't ever eat carbs, talk to God about that. Don't just pray, oh, dear Lord, help me eat carbs today. Talk to him. Be like, God, I don't want to eat these carbs today. Talk to him in the moment. You're about to have lunch. You could have a yummy, delicious bread bowl of soup from Panera Bread. And you're debating the chicken Caesar salad with the dressing on the side. And you know you need to have carbs in your life. Unless you're on some sort of specific diet because your body doesn't handle carbs, right? Like people who don't eat gluten just for the sake of not eating gluten. If your body can handle gluten, go ahead and eat the gluten. You're not a better person because you don't eat gluten. And you're not a better person because you don't eat carbs. Food does not it doesn't decide who you are. It's just food. And if you're trying to decide about that bread bowl, you got to talk to God about that. God, I don't know what decision to make here. Help me. Should I eat that bread bowl? Well, what? And then you get the fears that come up. What happens if you eat the whole thing? Are you going to want to go eat a slice of pizza after? Maybe you're going to want to have a cupcake. Then what do you do about dinner? You got to stop that thinking. That's the devil trying to take you out of the present moment. Got to get right back in that present moment and say, you know what? I'm not there yet. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm here right now, standing in line at Panera Bread, trying to figure out what I'm going to eat for lunch based off what my body is telling me it wants. God, help me figure out what my body wants to eat without the dieting mentality coming through, without the deviling mentality coming through, trying to make the decision for me where I'm choosing something based off of whether or not it's going to keep me at a certain weight or it's going to keep me from doing a certain action like restricting or binging. Don't think beyond the moment. Stay present in the moment. Don't even worry about how you're going to feel 2 minutes after eating that food. Just eat it in the moment. Think about how it tastes. Think about how it looks. Think about how it makes you feel. Think about how thankful you are. Thank God for the fact that you have that food. Be thankful in the moment. Take it off of you and put it back on God. This is how you begin to work through the obsession. It can't mean so much to you anymore. Whether you eat that bread bowl or not cannot be the beginning and the end of your life. You've got to take the meaning off of it because right now your food and your weight mean way too much to you. And the only way you're going to get out of that is by focusing on God instead of yourself, accepting what God has given you today. If you've been binging for 3, 4, 5 years, and you start listening to your body about what it wants to eat and tuning into God, your body may change. Now, you may be heavier because you've been binging so much. Accept that. Don't sit there and judge yourself over it. Talk to yourself because you're such a piece of garbage for binging. Accept that this is where you're... Sorry, my kid just barged in there. Accept that this is where your body is today. And then see what God does with you spiritually as you lean into him. This is a spiritual journey. Everyone is making this physical. I eat and it affects my physical body. It affects my looks. Right? How I decide to eat will then affect what I look like. And we're trying to make the choices based off looking a certain way rather than looking at the choices of how is this spiritually going to change me? How is this spiritually going to empower me? It's a lot like peeling back an onion. There's all these layers going on here. The food and the body image are just at the very top. when you start peeling back more and more of these layers, you start finding other things about yourself. Oh, that thing that happened to me when I was 15, the way I was treated, or somebody called me fat, or a doctor told me I needed to lose weight. Oh, you mean that's affecting what's going on today with my food, with my body image? Oh, that time in summer camp where we all had to get dressed in the cabin and I noticed some girls were smaller than me and I didn't feel so good about myself. You mean that's affecting right now what's going on with food? You mean that teacher who made sexual advances at me when I was 9 years old? Oh, that's affecting how my food is right now? God is trying to get really deep with you here, so that you can peel back these layers of bondage and free yourself by living in the spirit. When you're dealing with food and your body, you are living in the flesh. It's all flesh, baby. Don't beat yourself up over it. You're only a human being. It's okay. You could go down a whole long road of guilt over living in the flesh. Doesn't have to just be about food and your body image. I mean, come on. How about the guy on the road you called a jerk the other day while you were driving? Or the way you treated your husband the other night because he was annoying you? You're going to sin every single day. God does not see your issue with food and your body image, that sin, any worse than he sees the sin of you, you know, I don't know, telling your mother, hanging up on your mother, telling her to get out of your life. I mean, not that I'm saying there's, you know, you may be doing that. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of something off the top of my head. I mean, I have to hung up on my mother definitely several times. But I'm just saying he's not like, oh, this sin's worse than that sin. Sin is sin. Unclean is unclean in God's eyes. So don't, you know, you got to get yourself off the pity pot. That's the other thing.
Mommy, the doggy needs to go.
Hang in here with me, ladies, because you all know that I'm a stay-at-home mom. So I'm going to have the kids coming in as I try to do this. All right. The pity pot, we like to sit there. It's comfortable. It means we don't have to make a lot of movement. Nobody else is going to feel sorry for us except ourselves, right? I hear some people say to me, I can't even complain anymore to my friends or my family or my husband about how disappointed I am in what I look like or my weight, because they're all sick of hearing it, right? We're the best at feeling sorry for ourselves. That's not living in the spirit. That's living in the flesh as well. Why are you going to feel sorry for yourself? You have a way out. It's Jesus. It's living in God's grace. That's amazing. Take hold of that. You don't have to feel sorry for it. You can choose. You know what? I'm not going to feel sorry for myself about this anymore. I'm not. I'm not going to judge myself on it. I'm going to stop beating myself up over it. I'm going to let it be whatever it looks like. If that means that you make it 4 days without a binge and then you binge, then you wake up the next morning and you say, okay, I binged yesterday. Look at that, God. I guess I must have been stressed out. I guess I must have been anxious. Something is obviously bothering me. I went to my own power instead of using you, God. Yep, that's what happened. Moving on. That's how you got to be about it. Being emotional, beating yourself up, hating yourself is keeping you trapped where you are. It's not living in the spirit. It's living in the flesh. The woe is me syndrome. Woe is me. This is my life. Guess I'll never be able to overcome this. Well, you're not trusting in God. You got to start seeing yourself as God sees you. You got to stop seeing yourself as you think the world sees you. Who cares? The world is full of opinions. What does Jesus say? He specifically talks about, I think it's in Mark, but don't quote me on that because I'm not a whiz at the Bible, but I believe it's in Mark, where he makes that comment about, you know, I'm summarizing here. I don't listen to the world because the world changes. The world doesn't know what it's talking about. My Father testifies for me. That's whose testimony I care about. And that's whose testimony you have to start caring about. Not Sally Sue down the street who thinks you're boring, or Tommy who told you you've got big muffin tops. Who cares? They're not perfect either. Who are you living here for? Are you living here to impress Tommy and Sally? Or are you living here for your God, Jesus Christ, who literally died on the cross for you, who saved you so that you can live eternally in heaven with the great I am? You can't be a fair weather friend to Jesus if you want to have a holy existence in a fallen world, because it is fallen and you're going to fall because you're made of flesh. But my God, take hold of Jesus Christ and pull yourself out of the pit with him. You can do this. But you got to stop feeling sorry for yourself. You got to stop telling God what it has to look like for you, because it doesn't work like that. He will have it look exactly how it's supposed to look according to his plan. And you got to get on board with that, girl. You need to stop trying to control everything and start letting God be the leader in your life, around your food and around your body. And you do that by accepting the way you look today, not trying to figure out how you're going to look tomorrow. Decide what you're going to eat based off what your body tells you it feels like eating. I don't care if it's a cookie or if it's a cucumber. But you listen to your body and you pay attention to the noises in your head that are going to come up, the sounds of Satan trying to tell you that you're worthless, that you need to not listen to God, that you need to follow what your head is telling you to do, that you can't trust yourself with that cookie, that you're a good girl because you ate that cucumber. No, God doesn't care what you eat. He cares about where your heart is. Where is your heart? How much do you have God really a part of your healing? It better be all in, because that's the only way it's going to happen. This is not just about food and your body. This is about the hole that is within you, the empty space that can only be filled by Jesus. Your food and your body is just a symbol for all the other darkness you got floating around in there. That's all it is. And I'll tell you this right now. It could be a million other things that you obsess about. Some people are obsessed with work. Some people are obsessed with being mothers, and they just keep having kid after kid after kid after kid, trying to fill that hole. Some people are obsessed with sex, with spending money. This is your thing. This is your path to walk. But when you get this part taken care of, there's a million other things that you can obsess about afterwards. God's not just going to end your obsession with the snap of a finger, because you still have that hole. You've got to get the hole filled. You've got to figure out what it is you're lacking that Jesus can give to you. Is it love? Is it self-worth? Is it energy? Is it appreciation? What is it? You're missing something. And you got to let God fill it. And that's the biggest lesson I learned when I started my path to healing. I started this journey thinking I had a food problem, thinking that I had a weight problem, thinking that if I could just eat better, all would fall into place. And I realized that this had nothing to do with food and my body, that that was just the caravan for all the other garbage inside that needed clearing out. And when I let God into my garbage, when I opened myself up to him and I said, you know what, Lord, I am tired of fighting this battle. You have at it. You already know what a mess I am. When you admit that, when you can get down on your knees and say, oh God, I am a wreck and I don't have any control over it and I need your healing, you will start to experience it. That doesn't mean it's going to look perfect. It doesn't mean you won't still binge. It doesn't mean you won't still restrict. It doesn't mean you won't still obsess over your food. This is a journey. God wants to see you open to him. And it doesn't happen by making healthy choices all day long. That part will come later on. You will want to eat healthier. You will want to eat more normally. You will want to. But it's not the first step towards healing. And that's where you're getting it wrong. The first step towards healing is letting God into your, excuse my language, shit. Letting him into that pile of rubble where he can start to rebuild you. That's what you need to do. That's how you get over food obsession. You let the Lord in and you hang, you chill with God all day, every day. You find your mind wandering, boom, you pray. God, I forgot you were here for a second. What's up? You don't have to say this big, long, oh Lord, dear Lord, our Father in heaven, blah, 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 blah. Just say, what's up, dude? Talk to him. Because it opens you up even more. Just that little bit changes your heart. You will see. Immediately you get peace. Oh, hey, God, that's right. You're here with me. Hi. Boom. Peace. He's with you. Use him. He wants to take care of you. But you have to let him do it. That's the beauty of choice that we get. You have that choice. So I'm going to say a prayer for all my ladies in the house. I'm in a hip hop kind of mood now. I'm getting pumped up. All right. Oh, man, Jesus, the obsession is real. This is crazy how much weight we have been putting on our food and what our bodies look like. And God, we know that this is not your plan for us. We know that you have such greater things in store for us. If we could only lay this down, that is where we need the help, Father. To lay it down at your feet, to stop trying to live our lives based off of an idea of who we think we are or who we think we need to be, and to ask you to help us be who we are through you. It is by your power, your love, your grace, your mercy that we are even here breathing, and we need to be thankful for our lives, thankful that you value us enough to even keep us on this earth, that you value us enough to have even put us here on this earth. Lord, we pray that we don't shed a tear over all the wasted time we've spent, that we don't shed a tear over any human mistakes that may come our way, that we don't shed a tear over any step backwards, because there is no step backwards with you, God. Everything is in the present moment, and you are continually healing us right here in the present moment. Help us, Lord, to not put our own ideas on what that has to look like, but to trust that your healing is divine and that we will see the light at the end of the tunnel if we keep our eyes on you and allow you in to our messy, garbage-filled caves of darkness. Bring us your light. Fill us with that light, Lord, with your love, with your presence, and especially with your peace. Help us, God, to seek you every moment, every day, and to love ourselves as you love us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope, guys, that you got something out of this podcast today, because I want nothing more than for you to experience peace and joy in your lives again. And I believe with all my heart that you can have that. Just the fact that you're listening to this podcast, that you guys are signed up to my newsletter, that you're a part of my Facebook group and you're following me on Instagram, you are showing God that you are ready to make changes. Give yourself some compassion and some grace around how fast those changes happen, because this takes time. And you're being changed right now, even though you may not feel it. God is working on you in a very positive and beautiful and spiritual way. And you just got to hang in there. Okay? I love all of you ladies so much. And I pray that today you have a very blessed day, that you feel good about yourselves, and you know who you are in Jesus' name. Amen.
For tuning in to Feed Your Faith. I had so much fun with you today, and I really hope that you got something out of the podcast. Please do not forget to subscribe to the podcast. That way you will never miss an episode. And also, if you're interested, I run an amazing Facebook group, Christian Women's Food Freedom Through Faith. Go to Facebook and just put in, you know, Facebook/Courtney Kopek, and you will come across it. Definitely check that out. And don't forget to sign up for my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith, that you can get over at my website, www.courtneykopek.com. Have a blessed day.